The Power Play Podcast is brought to you by Game Time. And what is Game Time? Well, Game Time is a new app that brings you tickets, last-minute tickets, at a great discount with prices up to 60% off. And when you hear about these apps, you're like, well, can I trust them? And yes, Game Time has trusted sellers, thousands of them, that are able to show you the best last-minute deals. So what do? You download the Game Time app. It has a two-tap checkout process. Boom, boom, you're in there. You have tickets at a discounted rate for either sports or a concert, anything of that nature. I think they even have comedy. So go on the Game Time app. It's simple, quick, and easy to navigate. Download it on Google Play or the App Store and score last-minute deals on tickets up to 60% off. That is what I'm talking about. I need all of that money right in this pocket.
Power plays like an MVP, championship pedigree, Hall of Fame skills, business deals, lead the league, on court, all pro, off court, entrepreneur, any court, play ball, I'm ready to score, investments, connections, franchise player, levels to this man, I just add more layers, we changing the game, athletes bigger than balling, power plays, power moves, yeah, we going all in, my whole life a highlight reel, not just on the field, not just bodybuilding, I might buy a building, start a company, CEO, mind frame, this is way beyond game, these is power plays.
Welcome back to Power Play. You just heard that intro song. That is Kev Choice and DJ D Sharp, Derek Robinson. He made that beat. So please listen to that song because I know I do every day. And if you don't like it, we need to talk about your choice in music. We will discuss that. But right now, across from me, I'm so excited. He is somebody that I have met recently, even though we've seen each other in passing for years at the Warriors. He is a photographer, a brand builder, storyteller, and film director. He probably does a million other things too, but I'm really excited to introduce you, if you don't know who he is, to Squint. Squint, thank you so much for coming. I'm so excited about today because when I think of Power Play, you are one of the first people that came to my mind. Power players are people that work in sport and they're not necessarily on the court or field, but they are making power moves in athletics, and you are definitely one of them. First of all, who is Squint? Because Squint isn't a name that you hear often. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever heard that name before. So who is Squint?
My mom gave me the name Squint, so I wear that with honor. I'm just the person that likes to be in the shadows. Like, I really prefer to be there, you know? I'm really committed to, like, the mission, so whatever I set my mind to. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a brother, I'm a friend. And just someone that really takes his purpose serious. You know, like, I really care about, like, impacting people. I really care on, like, I don't really care about, like, my own praise. It's just really about the mission, you know. So this is, like, new for me to be talking about what I do because usually it's, like, I'm in the shadows.
Yeah, when you say you're in the shadows, I mean, I'm at a Mary J. Blige Nas concert. I see you taking photos. I'm at a Jadena listening party. I see you. Warriors, Raiders. I mean, you could go on for days about what you do, but when I was doing research for this, I was like, there's really not a lot out there about him. Is that intentional?
Extremely intentional. Just because, like, I build a lot of relationships with a lot of people. So one of the things, like, years ago, like early 2000s, I was like, you know, if anyone comes to the Bay, I want to position myself where people call me. I love the Bay. I'm so Bay. Like, if anything ever happened to the Bay, I'd probably die, you know? But I love the Bay Area. So when all my friends, like, went to LA to pursue, like, film and, you know, directing, I stayed here and built a name for myself and built kind of like this nice, healthy, like, machine. And so whenever people come here, I'm like the first person I get a call, you know, and just building true relationships over the years, it's really benefited me.
And when you say you're intentional and build these true relationships, how do you do that?
Just trust, you know, because it's kind of weird, like, these people become like these superstars, you know, and people are like, how are you here? How are you in sports? How are you in music? How are you in film? How are you in all forms of entertainment? But I really just love people, you know, and just really want to see them succeed. So, like, you mentioned, like, the Nas concert, you know, like, Nas, like, when I was 12 years old, I was like, man, I want to shoot Nas, you know, and I wrote, like, a list. And so I knew, like, I was going to meet Nas sometime in my life, but to be able to, like, capture him for, like, the last 6-7 years has been, like, a dream. He's just always been someone that's shown, like, support of the work. Jadena, I mean, I've known Jadena since I was, like, my late teens, you know, from days at Stanford. And so just building, like, pure relationships over the years, you know.
Shout out to 85 to Africa. That album slaps. I feel like we're kind of in the era of albums coming back, by the way, like full ones where you listen to them from beginning to end. But we talked about Jidenna, we talked about Nas, but what about athletes? I know that you are friends with a bunch of athletes. You actually work with Marshawn Lynch as one of the co-founders of Beast Mode Productions. So tell me how that came about and some memorable moments.
First of all, Marshawn's like Marshawn.
You just don't want to talk, really.
I'm just about that action, boss.
So it's interesting that to be working for a guy who doesn't like the cameras, like really doesn't like the cameras, and just over the years, like just building trust with them, and we're very similar. Like I don't like being in front of cameras. He doesn't either. So I kind of understand the struggle, and I respect it. And but I really like I love how Marshawn moves, and just we were in a meeting for we did a show. I was a writer and producer. I'm gonna help with the marketing for the No Script. It was actually our show that we partnered with Neil and Bleacher Report to put out this phenomenal show. And so while we were meeting, Marshawn's like, "Oh, I'm doing a production company. I need to bring you in." And I was like, "Well, what do you want me to do? You know, like I already have other things going on." But gave me the opportunity to build out the documentary and the commercial photography and things of that nature for Beast Mode Production.
So the documentary was just released.
We had nothing to do with that.
Okay.
At all. Like we
the documentary that's out right
had
now
had nothing to do with it.
Wow. Because yeah. You would think that it was coming from him. So
not
it's
at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. Because we had our own documentary that we've been shooting for the last 2 years. So through legal loopholes, they found a way to put a documentary out about him. And it was more like paying tribute to him and homage to him. But it was had nothing to do from Beast Mode Production, Marshawn, like none of us.
And I think that is really interesting. And it kind of goes to your point of trust in what you do. A lot of athletes' stories are told by other people, but him making a production company is one of those power plays that I talk about on this show is because you're taking back the narrative and you're showing people who you are through your own eyes. So how do you show athletes that you can have that trust with them to tell their stories in the way that you do?
I mean, it's very simple. Like, there aren't too many people that look like me on the field or on the court, so I'm not like your traditional like sports photographer. Like I actually shoot all things, you know, like I can shoot across the board. Like I used to shoot like architecture design, you know. There's some great photographers that are like really good at just basketball or football, you know, but I've learned to kind of like capture all narrative and culture. And so I think it's interesting, like Sports Illustrated would send like a 65-year-old white man to go talk to a 25-year-old black kid. Like that's uncomfortable, you know. So you have a person that, like myself, like I'm a big fan of Jordans. I'm like wearing Jordans. I like wearing hoodies. I don't know why. Just working with athletes, I guess. And so you have a person that kind of looks like them, and I can like really shoot. You know, like I went to school for it. Like I really love the craft, and I invest a lot of time. And so being able to stand out, I think it gives me a little bit more access to a lot of these athletes. And then just over the years, just being a trustworthy person. There have been some situations that if like the content gets out, it can like end a lot of people's careers. And I've been very mindful of like letting them know like, hey, you can trust me. And I think just over the years, like building a good rapport and having having that integrity, I think it's been good for word of mouth, and a lot of people have helped me to, you know, refer me to other people. You know, I just got an agent like 2 years ago.
Oh, you have an agent?
Yeah.
Shoot, I'm still trying to get one, so
yeah.
No, but honestly, I've seen your work and I'm obviously a huge fan. But what moment specifically with an athlete stands out to you the most?
That's like hard because if I say it, then like other athletes are going to be upset. But like,
well, maybe not the most. Let's just say it stands out. How about that?
I'll say that working with like Draymond on the float is like the best, like the best. Like to hear that many people like screaming for like the parade. Like that was a moment for me that I was like, I can't believe this actually happened. You know, to hear the Bay Area and like Draymond's just a great dude. Like I met him rookie year. And he's always just shown the utmost love and given me opportunities to just tell his story, you know, and build with him even more. There was one that I really loved. We flew out to, like, Boston, and we shot, like, Isaiah Thomas. That was really cool. And that was, like, the last campaign before he made his playoff run. And unfortunately, like, the tragedy with his sister, you know. But he was just an incredible individual, very, like, humble. And just the level of gratitude for us capturing that was like, that was a very special moment to me. That's probably one of my favorite sessions of that year.
So you just came off of creating a video for Damian Lillard. And what people don't know, and it was you and a team of people. And I believe, who was the actual director on that?
My man, Tevin. He's based out of, he's from Oakland. He's out in LA, but He's an incredible young and up-and-coming, like, director. Like, he's a storyteller. So he's someone that I met a few years ago and just built a relationship with. And just over the years, like, he's an incredible. Like, he worked with Adidas. He worked with Nike. And he's really, a director. Like, he's a film director. So the opportunity came out to work with Damian. And I was like, look, we're not going to make a music video. Like, there's no narrative storytelling in music videos. Every project, like, I work on, I try to incorporate photography to some degree, whether it's, like, films that I do, I always try to have, like, some kind of moment where the images live. And, you know, we incorporated that in the video. And just all season, like, I wanted to work with Brookville. Like, you know, Brookville, Oakland is, like, very, like, it's tough. It's, like, one of the toughest places in Oakland. But the people are beautiful, beautiful mm-hmm. people. And so to go there with Damian and Brookville Deuce, who's also featured on the song, I mean, the city just opened up. And we did all that, like, no permits. Like, just all one-day preparation. I mean, it took us less than a week to do the whole film, from, right. like, idea to execution.
Well, and for those people who are listening that don't know, Damian's obviously amazing out there on the court, but he really is a music artist. Like, he is an artist. He yeah. could be that without being a basketball player. That is definitely a power play yeah. for him. And as I'm watching it, you see the magic of where it's at. You see the magic of his talents. You see the magic of the people that literally raised him, yeah. right? Why is it in black and white? I was wondering that when I was watching it. What was the decision to do that?
I believe, like, black and white's, like, just create a timeless effort. Like, tones change over the years. When you make something like that, it's classic. And if you notice, like, we decided to do, like, documentary style. Like, Tevin is brains out. And also Brookfield Deuce, like, he's from there, you know? Like, so he's like, look, we got to make the best video from Oakland. So, like, when you think of, like, E40s, like, Tell Me When to Go. Like, these are iconic videos from the Bay Area that reflect timeless moments, and we wanted to recreate that. So you see, like, Snoop Dogg, What's My Name? You see Nipsey Hussle, Grinding All My Life. You see all these different elements combined with an Oakland twist, and we wanted to keep it that, like, timeless, you know? And so, like, I love black and whites. Anytime I can, like, shoot in black and white, I'm always going to do that.
Well, you've obviously impacted the world of sports with your work, your creativity, but how has it impacted you as a creative?
Just building relationships, you know, like, working with athletes, like, it's given me just an opportunity to see, like imagine, like, working with these guys that are some of the greatest athletes in the world and their confidence are, like, shot. And you're like, no way, like, you know, but they never really get to see it from their perspective. You know, it's always, like, an outside media. Like, I'm not really tied to any publication. Like, usually publications contract me out because they love what I do. And it gives me a little bit more control. And so that's getting ahead of the narrative. Like, everyone's talking, like, control the narrative, but there aren't storytellers. Photography, it implies story. It doesn't tell. Directing does in films, but for me, it's really helped me shape on how I present and position the work that I do to give an opportunity to tell it, you know? So whether it's, like, a Steph, whether it's a Marshawn or even a Damian, I don't like how people that aren't around tell their own perspective. And, like, it's like the news. If it's, like, an African-American, they're going to show, like, this crazy photo of them, you know? But if they want to paint someone in a different light, they put a suit and tie on them, you know? And that's, like, manipulating perception. It's really helped me to, like, navigate, just even in life, too. Like, I always say, like, perception is the best deception. And I'm in the business of perception. So maintaining, like, integrity at all times.
Can you unpack that a little bit? Perception is the best deception. Can you unpack that? What exactly does that mean to you?
Instagram. You know, like, people put this perception, like, everything is going great. And they want to be viewed in a certain light. And so it's, like, deceiving, you know? Like, I don't like posting traveling photos until I get home. And so sometimes I might, depending on where I am. But for the most part, like, I don't like people knowing my every moves. That's why I like being in the shadow. So, like, last year, I traveled like crazy. I went from, like, Paris, came back. The next week, go to Rome, came back. And then, like, I came back from Rome, flew out to Miami. Marshawn had a game versus the Dolphins. And everyone's like, I thought you were in Rome. And it's like, I don't want people knowing where I am. And the perception is people, they want you to think that they're higher than what they are. And I never want that. If my rapport is higher than the mission, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and I try to stay in that, like, balanced life because I want to be meaningful. I don't want people to, I don't like vanity. I don't like fame. And I want to just stay away from that as much as possible. So the perception is, like, you know, you meet people that don't have it, you know, like, and they're showing you, like, man, they have 100,000 people on Instagram and they're, like, asking me for a job.
That has been something that has been on my mind lately, because I don't think that we talk enough about our real lives. And I think if we did, the world would be such a better place. I think if we shared our missions, the world would be such a better place. And you've referenced the mission many times throughout this talk. What is the mission for you?
For me, is like I've always been about like love. Like I'm born on Valentine's Day, so like that's always been like the mission. I learned tough love. I learned like all these extremes, and so I think we're in a world that has this synthetic love or this false perception of it, and I want to make sure like we demonstrate that, especially in the work. You know, like my goal for years was like get rid of like smut media, like TMZ and, you know, false narrative. Like I really want to show the integrity piece. You know, like some of these people are, especially in sports, are excelling at a high level, and like why don't we honor that? Why are we concerned about who they text or the beef between like the Discord in the locker room? Like it's really, most of the time it's not that. Like it's four of us in the family. Like I have two brothers and a sister. We fight, but then after, like, we're loving each other, you know? But imagine if someone's with a camera and writing about it. It can make you, like, psychologically go crazy. And so I want to show, like, the integrity, you know, the values, like, the hustle, the grit, the grind. Like, if you notice a lot of my work, there's a lot of intimacy in the work. Like, it's very intimate in showing, like, the facial expressions, you know, the emotions after the play. But that's more of my mission, is just always trying to put love at the forefront of everything I do.
Well, there are plenty of people out there that would love to have a person like you on their staff because, you know, there's so many mediums out there now where athletes are telling their own stories. They are able to have their own platforms. Would you ever work for somebody or just continue to be independent and working for everybody?
That's kind of hard because, like, it requires a lot of, like, commitment. I live, like, two lives. Like, I really live two lives. That's why I think I go by, like, Squint. Like, my real name is Chris, but I go by Squint because if ever I get beside myself, I can kill off Squint and go back home and live as Chris, you know? It's a lot to commit to. Just, I built so much that I kind of like the approach of just coming to work with people for a timely manner and then just letting them be them. And working with athletes, it can be very, like, extremely, like, narcissistic for some of them because they're getting praise. People are asking them for stuff every day, and they really don't have people to care for the well-being of them. And that's where I would care. Like, bringing stability to their life.
Well, you mentioned living two lives, and I feel like a lot of athletes have to do that. You know, there's the media side, there's the side of them on the court, there's a side of them at their house. Do you feel you relate to them on that level?
Oh, definitely. Like, I'm paranoid. Like, I don't want people knowing where I live. I don't want people knowing, like, what my house looks like. It does change you. You know, like, every single day I get people asking me for tickets. Or I know you get that all the time too.
Oh my goodness, if I had a dollar for every time.
Yeah, and asking for jerseys, like, it's gotten crazy that, like, because I stand so close to a lot of these people, they expect, like, for a long period of time, everyone's calling me like, hey, this kid's dying of cancer, or I have a family member dying of cancer, can you have Steph talk to them, can you have this person do, you know, can I get a jersey? And I was like, man, I can't position my friendship that way with these guys because that's depressing. Imagine if I'm the guy that's saying, hey, someone's dying, can you help them out? Like, that's a pressure and a burden that no man can bear, you know? And it's by, like, the hundreds. Like, it's insane, you know? Family members that I don't even know that we're related, you know? But somehow they have baby pictures of me and been asking for help and asking for money. So I can imagine me being in the shadows getting that. How much more are these athletes getting it that have their salary posted online?
Yeah, that's something I think is underserved. As somebody who worked in sports for 13 years, I saw that, mm-hmm. You know, I witnessed that pressure that athletes get all of the time to do things like that. And at the end of the day, they're human beings, just like we are. They happen to have a talent that's so amazing. And, you know, they use it to gain things like wealth and notoriety and things like that. But at the end of the day, that's what they want to do. And to put that pressure on them is immense. And so I would imagine that that's something that brings you together and makes them, I don't know, trust you even more.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, like, I have, like, the key code to their houses. Like, you know, like, that's a big trust. You know, I've stayed at some of these guys' homes and told their stories, met their families, met their mothers, their children. So I take honor in that, but I don't want to abuse that. And I tell people, like, even if I was a billionaire, I'm always going to do photography just because of the level of trust and honesty that it provides. And I want them to see themselves that way. Like, there aren't too many media outlets that present that. So I've worked with brands that say, man, I love what you do. We've never seen them in that light. Like, even with Damien, like, we showed him with his cousins. And, you know, like, he gives so much to people that no one knows, you know? Like, Marshawn's the same way. Maybe it's the Oakland. Maybe people from the Bay, you know? But Marshawn gives so much that no one will ever know. No one will ever know. You know, I see, like, athletes getting awards and photo ops. Like, Marshawn, probably out of any athlete I've ever worked with or seen, no one gives more than Marshawn, not even a fraction. And what I mean by that, Marshawn's not a person that's going to pull out money and say, here, like, don't do that. That's the worst thing to do. But Marshawn's going to say, like, he really looks for the well-being of people, and he will position those that are around him to follow their dream. What makes a high school kid say, hey, I'm not going to go to college unless you take my cousins? You know, and then they all pursue a professional career. And, you know, like, that's a selfless individual.
Very much so. And he doesn't want that on display. And I admire that as well, because it's not, and not to say that you shouldn't say amazing things that you're doing, but at the same time, to make it something that pushes who you are is also kind of unbalanced as well. So I appreciate that. With him. And I wonder how many athletes in particular, artists, are like that without us even knowing it.
There are definitely a lot of people like that. I mean, I think the challenge is if you always have to be on, it's very challenging. Like, I don't know how they do it. But I try to, like I said, bring stability to their life and consistency. And so I don't praise them too much because it's like a balance. But I do show gratitude, you know, like if they inspire me. You know, like Steph inspires me like crazy, you know, just his work ethic and his consistency. Like, we've seen his failures, we've seen his strengths, but he's a fun guy. Like, he's funny, he's hilarious, you know. Like, sometimes, like, working with him, I'm like laughing so much because he's like a really dope individual. And same with Draymond. Like, Draymond cares about his team, his people. Like, he's such a great dude, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things that I am so thankful that I got to see while I was at Golden State, was just the evolution of Steph and Draymond as men, you know? Like, you just saw them become different people. I mean, I was there for Steph's entire career, and Draymond's, obviously. So that was one thing that I definitely was honored to see, and I think that, you know, more people need to appreciate. Like, it's not just about what's on the court, so. But we're in an era of that. We're in an era of people really telling their own stories. Do you ever feel a weight on your shoulder of telling somebody's story?
I never felt the weight. I think what makes it work is, like, I have to be, like, inspired and motivated. You know, like, there have been athletes that I work with and then just lost complete drive to work with them just because of, like, you've told that story a billion times, you know? I'm always trying to understand, like, different sides and different perspectives. And so, like, I kind of like going up against the negative. You know, like, there was a time, like, this literally happened. I'll give you an example, like, with Marshawn. There was, like, a scuffle going on with his cousin. And so he's, like, trying to break it up, and he ends up touching the referee, and they suspended him. Well, that night, like, Marcus Peters and Marshawn, like, they took the BART to Oakland, you know, back to the store.
Pop your collar one time, man.
You gotta go like this, though.
You came out here to the game?
Go like that. I'm from Germany. You gotta do it like that. All right, take it right here.
Look.
Grab it with these two, though, right here.
These gotta be up. Like these. And then you just...
And that's my footage. Like, it was all over the place. Like, it went viral. People like, man, that's my footage. Like, I did it with my phone, and it went viral. And then that same week, Marshawn, he's playing football with the kids. So he went viral twice in 1 week. But the media's like, he's a thug, he's fighting, he's from Oakland. And, like, it felt so good for us to, like, stop that narrative, stop it in its tracks, like, with the team that we have, with Beast Mode Production, like, to actually be ahead of the narrative and just, like, you know, because they want to paint us out to look like monsters, and they're not. They're great people. Like, you put yourself in that place, and you'll see something different. But that feels good, to be honest in the narrative.
I think it's almost necessary at this point, with the way that things are set up, to have your own kind of way to come back and tell your own story. You literally have to, as an athlete, have your own medium nowadays. How do you think what you do will grow with that point?
I think it's interesting, because, like, a lot of people want to do what we do, but I think you just have to be a caring person. Like, you have to be selfless. Like, I don't have... Like, when I talk to these people, I'm not trying to be put on. Like, I'm not looking for this career shift that, like, I didn't even try to go into sports, to be honest with you. Like, I shot a couple different athletes before for, like, a different, like, for a publication. And it just, you know, an athlete's like, hey, I love your stuff. Can you work with me? And over the years it happened. But I think it's important to have the right people around you that are telling it, you know, and just being pure with it. You can't come at it and just say, hey, you know, I got a camera, I'm the homie, like, because there has to be a level of, like, excellence, too, in the standard of the quality of the work, too. And you have to love it. You have to love it. People don't understand, like, I spend 8 hours a day editing. To this, every single day, if I'm traveling, like, I spend every 8 hours a day editing because I love it. Like, I raise my kids while I'm editing, you know, like, I'm listening to music, I'm cleaning the house, you know, like, I love to edit, you know. And then when I'm traveling, like, it's very therapeutic, and there's a level of integrity. So I think a lot of athletes... they have to be very mindful of that. And I think, you know, I hope that you'll see more directing and more of like the intention of like what we're trying to convey and what we're trying to say. Like the mission is always going to be love, always, like, and gratitude and appreciation. I hate like smut. Like, I don't even like my own smut. So, like, you know, and my own failure. So why would I want to glorify someone else's, you know?
Right. I do think sometimes that failure can be our greatest teacher, though. But it's the way that you frame those failures. Instead of being like, they did this, it's like, well, they did this, and this is how they've changed their lives through that.
Yeah, but it's the why. You know, like, a lot of these guys, like, they don't have father figures. Like, it's sad being close to some of these people. They don't even have family. They have people around them that are fans of what they do, and they, but that's uncomfortable. Can you imagine, like, you have to pay your family to be around? And if you tell them no, like, then they leave. That's not life. That's not normal. And those are the sacrifices they go through. So when people criticize them on making decisions, that's challenging. And so I try to bring a balance of just showing perspective. So if there is a failure or just a misunderstanding, like, I try to encourage them to speak their voice in a healthy way. Don't be aggressive and lash out. Like, you know, because that stuff happens. Like, I get negative comments about other people, and I will block you. Like, I will block you. Like, you know, like, I've met people that say, hey, you blocked me. It's like, well, you must have said something crazy, because I try to welcome everyone. But you do have those people that will try to get under your skin, you know?
Yeah, you have to protect your space.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And all of the things that you've done, photographer, brand builder, storyteller, film director, there's something else that you've done, and that's called Trillicon Valley. And can you tell people what that is? Because I could not do it justice.
Yeah. There are six of us. You have Olatunde Sobhamaheem, you have Jason Maiden, Brandon Middleton, Tavares Brown, and Bryce Butler. Bryce Butler plays for the Miami Dolphins. Jason is a developer, one of the greatest designers in the world, like, literally, like, by accreditation. You know, Tunde Sobhamaheem is, like, the service. Brandon's, like, the greatest tech guru out there. And then Tavares is, like, the Tony Stark of the group. Like, he is probably the smartest person I know. And so you have a collective of friends, like, we're actually, like, brothers. We've known each other for years and decided to make a company. So it's like a Procter & Gamble, you know? Like, we have a bunch of different brands running under the umbrella of Trillicon. It ranges from service to product to branding, you know? And it started, like, I was, like, going to – I built a branding firm, but I was, like, going to hire them to work with me. And it just – over time, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and we just merged over the years. So you have, like – Superheroic, which Jason is the CEO of that. So you really have everyone in the group is all CEOs working together. And there's zero ego. Like, that's the craziest thing. Like, we love each other. Like, we represent each other's brands like it's our own. You know, whether it's the Street Code Academy, which is like the tech school that we had, that we founded 3-4 years ago. And then you have Superheroic, you have Floodgate, you have all these different things. You have Tic-Tac-Toe 10, which is like a platform gaming. There's so many different things that we have working together in collective. And it's best to be in business with your best friends, you know?
Yeah, people you can trust, just like people trust you to tell their stories. You want to be around those people. Can you just expand on, I mean, there's so many different brands, but let's go with Street Code Academy.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
So I am a co-founder of Street Code Academy. I'm a co-founder for a lot of the companies. I think just because, like, I'm the narrator, the historian. So I tell the story. But with Street Code Academy, like, we decided to teach tech education and development and entrepreneurship for kids in East Palo Alto, the underserved. And it started as kids, then it has grown to like parents and adults and grandchildren. So we literally have students from the age of 4 to 91. And there's like a huge community of like older folks that go to the school. And we've had people that are homeless that learn how to do apps and do websites and, you know, like living, you know, people have been development. I mean, learning, not knowing anything about coding, and running their own businesses, you know, getting hired and getting paid these six-figure jobs. And this is in a place where it's being overlooked. Like, they're fighting gentrification in East Palo Alto. Like, I think the housing crisis has gone up so high that people have downgraded to, like, living in a one-bedroom apartment with, like 10 people in a house, you know? And so we're serving those people. And to see them excel, it's beautiful. And we're going up against some of, like, the major tech companies. Yeah, that's all I could say, so doesn't get crazy.
No, that is phenomenal. I know that I admire what you do. And for everyone else who is listening to this and is like, I need to follow this guy because I need to know what he's doing next and more about his projects, where do they find you?
Obviously, like, the social media is like Instagram. I am Squint. I'm on Visco. Visco is really cool. Like, if you go to VSCO, like, you'll see my real, like, that's my real work. Instagram is, like, people always steal my content, and I hate that, but VSCO is, like, where my real work is.
They steal your content.
All the time.
They say that they've taken those photos or
no, done the like, like, you'll post something, and then it's, like, on the Shade Room. It's on Bleacher Report. You know, like, a lot of media companies that are, like, acting as if they're media companies, they're just ripping other people's content. They're not actually creating. And that's why people are saying, hey, I have a media company. Well, what does that mean? Like, you rip content? You take highlights from someone else? Like, we're actually creating the story. We're actually the narratives. Like, we have the essence and the intent of what we're trying to convey and able to execute at a high level.
And then Trillicon Valley, is that TrillicomValley.com?
TrillicomValley.com. Or you can go to, like, all social handles, Trillicon Valley. Okay.
Well, in everything that you've done and all the athletes and artists that you've worked with and just your work, period, as a creative, how are you going to move next? What is next for Squint?
I'm working on a jazz piece, which is really cool. Really cool. So I partnered with, well, VSCO. I was one of the recipients of a grant to be able to show, like, the innovation of jazz. So I'm working on that. Obviously, I always have documentaries in the works. But I'm really excited about the jazz project because I started in music. Like, I did 10 years in music. People don't even know that. To actually get back to the roots and the essence of working with some of the greatest jazz musicians, from legends to, like, the up-and-coming legends, it's the best. Like, it's I've learned so much about myself in that process. So I'm excited about that.
And I know that that's phenomenal. I'm really excited to see that. I'm actually excited to see whatever you do. Let's just keep it real.
Thank you.
But just as a person, as a human being, like, what are you most proud of for doing? Like, and I'm not even talking about work. Like, what is the thing that, you know, you would want people to kind of, like, base who Squint is from?
I love being a dad. I love being a dad. Like, I just, my wife and I just had a baby 2 months ago.
Congratulations.
And, like, yeah, so imagine having a brand new baby and then the Warriors losing. Like, you know, like, going through those emotions is, like, crazy, you know? But that's, like, the best job I've ever had. Like, it's the greatest, like, learning from these three little beautiful boys that are just challenging me and just encouraging me every day. You know, like, I travel a lot, but they never see it. There's no void, you know? Like, people are like, how are you everywhere? Well, I learned to, like, do day trips. Like, for the game one of Toronto, like, I flew out there and was back in less than 24 hours. I'm very intentional, like, about dropping them off at school, tucking them in, you know, like, like, we have a routine that I want them to know, so I don't want them to ever resent the work that I'm doing. Like, eventually I want them to be a part of, like, whatever it is that we're doing, but I want them to know, like, this is for them. I'm not, like, a different person on the road, you know? Like, I've flown to New York and back, and, like, I've been in the air longer than I've been in New York, you know, and traveling to different countries doing the same thing. So, but I love being, like, a father. I love, like, learning how to confront, like, my own fears, you know, and insecurities that I had growing up, and just displaying love. And I have three different personalities, strong-willed kids, but three different personalities. And that's interesting to, like, learn.
Well, thank you for being an amazing dad, an amazing creative, investing in the impact of people, in knowing that nothing is more important than love. I thank you for your time today. I thank you for your work. And just keep up with Squint, because he's doing amazing things. He's doing great things. And he is definitely a power player. All I have to say is, wow, when you listen to this podcast with Squint, there are so many valuable things to unpack. But I think the biggest one is integrity. We live in a world that is so wrapped up in likes. We live in a world that is wrapped up in clickbait. We live in a world that would rather get a following for a story and for people to like the story, and for people to just have knee-jerk reactions about things than really reporting about what happened. And I'm not saying this goes for all of the media. There are certainly a lot of people that have integrity within the media. But by and large, our society is so used to literally just clicking on something that they see because it is sensational and rolling with it. Instead, what I see here with Squint and what I felt while I was talking to him is really somebody, obviously, with integrity, but also who wants to tell the real story and do that without compromising someone. There is a way to do that. I think we've forgotten that. We're just so used to reporting something like bad that happened or whatever and sensationalizing that thing rather than looking at the whole picture and telling the actual real story. And what happens when that happens is that athletes do take their narratives and they tell their own stories. And I get that completely. Who better to tell it than yourself, right? But you have people like Squint that are still out there doing the work and showcasing people for who they are and not for what you want them to be to get 100,000 likes and so on and so forth. When I talk with Squint, I think about the times that I did view, and I touched on this a little bit in the podcast, I kind of, you know, had a view of an athlete's life, you know, working in the field that I did for the many years that I did. And of course, I didn't know the real story all the way because I wasn't in their life and I wasn't a part of it. But I did see the people that took advantage of them. I saw the people that literally were looking out for themselves rather than the person that they exploited. And it was something that always bothered me. And I would see as an athlete that it would be hard to trust people in those situations because you've been hurt a time or 10 by people. You've had people take advantage of you. So how do you know when someone real comes into your life and is able to tell your story in a way that would be fair and true? Squint is definitely one of those people. And you can tell that his relationships that he's built are built on integrity. And that is why he is who he is. And that is why he creates the things that he creates. It's because he is that person. I urge you to look within your own life and test your integrity. Are you a person that can be trusted? Are you a person that other people should have in their lives and trust? It's something that we have to balance every single day. And that is one thing that I think if you listen to this podcast, that you would test within your own life to become a better person. If you are that person, great. Stay in that lane, please. We need more of you. But if you're not, you know, what would make somebody not want you to document their life? What would make somebody not trust you to be in their circle? It's just a check that I think is good for us all to have. I know that I did that after having this podcast with Squint. It was just like, you know, this man definitely is a man of integrity. What can I learn from him? And how can I be a better person in my own life? And I think that's one of the main reasons why I started Power Play. Yes, I want to showcase people and what they do in the field of sport, but it's more of the impact of the person that is important to me. And Squint is a perfect example of that. He is doing the work that he is supposed to do. He's living in purpose. He's walking in it. And he's doing that as a person of integrity. And that was my biggest takeaway from this episode of Power Play. I really want to thank you for your support. It has been so amazing and overwhelming to me, the amount of people that have listened to the Power Play podcast. I am so thankful. This is something I've been wanting to do for so long, and I just really appreciate that you appreciate what I'm bringing to the table and all of the people that we're interviewing. One thing that if I could ask you for anything else, that would be to comment after you've listened, because it really helps other people find the Power Play podcast. And I want more people to know about these amazing stories that we're bringing to the table. Please, from the bottom of my heart, comment on this podcast. Tell us how you feel. I want your real reaction. So let us know. Bring your opinion to the table and comment on the medium that you are listening to the Power Play podcast on. It's also very important to rate the podcast. And I want you to be honest with the rating. I'm not trying to tell you to give us all the stars, but you can, and I will take all those stars. So please rate the podcast. It's very, very important to do so. And thank you so much for tuning in every Thursday on theathletic.com/powerplay on the Athletic Podcast Network.